The other day I was in the bookstore and I saw a new book out that had been written by a doctor, and it was all about his experience with people who had had out-of-body near-death experiences. Some of the stories in there were really fascinating. People who would be brought into the emergency room and have no pulse, no breathing, no brain activity, would basically be declared dead. But they would try their best to revive the person. And when they would be successful and revive the person, stories that the people would talk about, like, they would be able to describe everything that was going on while they were supposedly dead. They could describe the people who were in the room, and not even just in the room, but would describe experiences of actually going around the hospital to other places and could describe everything that was going on. And they described it as if they were floating somehow around and could see things. And not just one example, but lots of examples of people like this who had had these near-death, out-of-body experiences. Being a scientific person myself, I found this fascinating, because science, of course, is concerned with the material world, what we can see and touch and observe. But here was this weird kind of mix between the material and scientific world that we understand, and then almost this kind of beautiful challenge to that, to say and remind us, really, that there is more to this world than just what we can see. That's really the great kind of heresy of our day, materialism, the idea that everything that is real must be able to be sensed by our five senses. The truth is, there is much out there that is real, in fact, maybe even more real than just what we can sense with our five senses. That's really that kind of moment that we celebrate today on the Solemnity of the Ascension. Today we celebrate that day when the Jesus of history, who walked about this earth, who interacted with the apostles, who people could touch and meet, that Jesus passes away. He ascends to heaven in a cloud, this kind of, you know, non-concrete entity, takes him from our sight. Jesus has passed beyond our sight, not out of existence, not out of reality, but he has passed out of this physical world, beyond our sight, into the realm of God. A truth that is not any less real. In fact, it's more real. It's in this truth that although Jesus is leaving, he tells his apostles as he's leaving, "Behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." That's this beautiful kind of mystery that we celebrate today. No, we don't see Jesus physically present in our material world in the way the apostles did today. But he is present, and no less real. If Jesus is present, how do we experience this? The fathers of the church had a phrase that continues down to us today. They say that the Jesus of history is now present in mystery through the sacraments. Vatican Council II gives us several ways in which we can see and experience Jesus present today. The first is through the sacred scriptures. Jesus is present when his word is read or proclaimed. I thought about that today just as I was reading this gospel, as I was reading the words, "Behold, I am with you always." I could sense that Jesus is here. The sacred scripture is much more than just a book or words on a page, because it's been written by the Holy Spirit. And when it is read, especially during the liturgy, the Holy Spirit makes the word of God, Jesus Christ, present in a way that is not necessarily perceptible to the senses. Even I have to remind myself of this, that sometimes I can think, "Oh, I've read that story in the Bible over and over, and why do I need to read that story again?" But I'll pick it up and I'll read a familiar passage over again, and something new will hit me. This is true whenever we read the sacred scripture. It's so important that we spend time doing that. 20 minutes a day of meditation would be a great goal. To take the sacred scriptures and pick a familiar passage, maybe from the gospel, and just spend 20 minutes reading and praying with it, and know that Jesus is really present. Although we can't maybe touch him and he's not there in the same way, he is there when we meditate and read the sacred scriptures. Jesus is also present in the community of believers. St. Paul reminds us in the second reading that the church is the body of Christ. When we come together, Jesus promises us in that familiar passage where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst. So there is no doubt that Jesus is really present with us this morning. This is why the church makes it so clear that we have to come together for Mass every weekend. It's a mortal sin to skip Mass because we need each other. We, when we come together, make Christ present through our coming together. No Christian can be a Christian on our own. There is no way to experience the full presence of Christ apart from our brothers and sisters. So Christ is present in this congregation. The Christ of history has passed into the mystery of the sacraments as well. We find Christ present in the sacred mysteries, as they're called. In Greek, the word for sacrament is mysterion. It's mysterious the way Christ is present in the sacraments, but it's real. Particularly, we look at the way he uses the priest in the sacraments, so that when you go to confession, it's not the priest that forgives your sins, but in a mysterious way, Christ himself is present and uses the very voice of the priest so that it is Christ himself that tells you your sins are forgiven. He is present there in a way we can't see. It is Christ himself that is made present when husband and wife come together in marriage. Through the mystery of that sacrament, we see the love of God made real and present as we see the love of husband and wife. And finally, we know that in the most beautiful presence of Jesus of all, when the priest stands in the very person of Christ, uses Christ's own words and says over ordinary bread and wine, "This is my body, this is my blood," an incredible change takes place. One that is not unlike these out-of-body experiences. What we see is just ordinary bread and wine. What might appear in the hospital is just a dead body. There's really much more there on the level we can't see. That bread and wine is changed and becomes a presence of Christ that is so tangible and concrete that we call it the real presence of Jesus. Not to say that the other ways of Jesus being present aren't real. They are. But Jesus' presence in the Eucharist is so far beyond that, because the bread and wine truly become his body, blood, soul, and divinity. That doesn't happen on a level that is perceptible to the senses. When we look at it, everything that is sensible in the Eucharist remains bread and wine. But on a level of mystery, we know that Jesus is truly present on our altar, and that when we receive the sacred host, drink from the sacred cup, it's Jesus that we receive. And now, in a most wonderful miracle, the presence of Jesus is in our bodies. It's amazing when you think about that. We all need this day of the Ascension, I think, to pause and stop and think about, I am present with you always. Do we realize it? Do we find Jesus present in our brothers and sisters, but especially in the Eucharist today? St. Paul reminds us that to recognize the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist is not optional. He says if we were to take the Eucharist without discerning it to be the body of Christ, not only would it do us no good, but we eat and drink judgment upon ourselves. To not recognize the presence of Jesus today in the Eucharist, to treat it cheaply, would actually bring condemnation, not the peace and union with Jesus we desire. This presence that Jesus gives to his apostles at the Ascension, that he gives to us, It's for a purpose. When Jesus says, I am with you always, and as it were, everywhere, we have something that the apostles didn't even have. Jesus was present to the apostles wherever they happened to be. But now, through the mystery of the sacraments, the mystery of the church, Jesus is with us wherever we are. And this inspires us then to mission. As Jesus is leaving, he gives them the sacred commission, go. It's almost kind of funny at the end. They're standing there looking up at the sky, and the angels have to tell the men of Galilee, what are you doing? Why do you stand there looking at the sky? The time for looking at Jesus with our eyes is over, and the time for the mission of the church has begun. And so Jesus tells them, go. It's not incoincidental that Mass gets its name from a similar event. The last words of the Mass are, go, ite, missa est. In Latin, ite means go, missa est. Literally, go, you are sent. You have a mission. That's what Jesus tells us today. His presence that is everywhere allows us to go on mission. If you realize it then, the entire Mass gets its name from the very last line of Mass. When they decided what should we call the sacred liturgy in the West, we thought that the most important moment of Mass was the very last, the blessing and the dismissal. Today, as we receive the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, I invite you to really pray those last words of the Mass. When you hear the priest today say, go, hear Jesus saying that to you today. Yes, he is with you always, and he tells you now, go, I will be with you. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. And hear Jesus saying to you, behold, I am with you always until the end of the age.